And I'll be sharing on, like I said on Sunday, moments. I'll start with moments in God. Amen. Moments in God. Matthew 26. Again, Jesus was full God and full man. I recall many years ago, I don't know if I've shared this with some of you. I got in an argument with I got in an argument with a certain UI brother now. He's a pastor now. We used to do this word men, you understand? Word boys. We were boys. He was in final year UI. I don't think I've entered school. University at all. Yeah, I don't think so. And so we're arguing, is Jesus full God or is he full man? Amen. That was the argument. And we had some parties who said he was half God, half man. That's quite funny. Because you can't be half male, half female. Except, you know, this generation is woke. They live in you, something like that. And he said something, he said, he's full God, full man. And I remember I shook his hand at Scout Camp Junction. He literally came from UI all the way to Scout Camp Challenge so that we could argue. And we ended up not arguing. Funny enough, one of us, I'm not going to mention, because some of you know the person I said, no, he is full man. You see, that's where the problem is. The argument was 5 minutes. Let's go home. No argument. And I said, it's full man. That was God's plan and everything. So we took ourselves. There's a market now in Scout Camp. It was not there then. It was trees. It was all trees. It was a jungle with a pathway. So we took ourselves there. And we started opening the Bible. It was funny. But it's good. It's full God. It's full man. Amen. He was all of God and he was still all of man. And he chose to live out as a man. And in his living, he gave us hints. It's a blessedness for the man in Christ that Jesus lived as a man. Because in living as a man, he gives us precepts. You know what precepts are? Precepts. When you say, this is how this thing is set. Just plug and play. He gives us precepts on how to live the God kind of life. And close to the end of his earthly ministry, he did something. He took his disciples to pray, as he usually will. In Matthew 26, this prayer was different because he was about to die. In verse 38, then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful because this is death. Wait here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to his disciples and he found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for an hour? Now, observe the word. He said to Peter, could you not watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So it means the flesh can be strong if we pray. Pray so that you will not enter into temptation. Because what I'm saying is that the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But if you pray, the flesh will not be weak. And sometimes we give an excuse. We give this excuse. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And we're not doing the only thing that could make the flesh walk in God's counsel. But that's not where we're going to. Verse 42. Then he went again the second time and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, let your will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. There are times like that, yeah? You come for a meeting and your eyes are literally heavy. Have you seen people, it's a retreat, you see people stand, you say someone cannot stand and sleep. Are you whining? Yeah. Come into the retreat. Amen. That one is not a sin. Stand, sleep. Amen. But when they wake you, don't start taking offense. No. Osuni, accept. Hallelujah. Norm. Hallelujah. If you tell me you pray 24 hours and you prayed all through, you are lying. What did I say? You did lie. You see, their eyes were heavy. Have your eyes been heavy before? You tell yourself, I will not sleep. I will not sleep. No. It's me now. If I focus like this, there's nothing that I remember I went for a class like that. It was an 8 a.m. class. And the previous day I was praying. I prayed till the morning. I prayed till about 7 a.m. I just went to the hostel, freshened up, and went for class. I told myself, I actually don't sleep in classes. I rarely sleep in public. But my eyes were heavy. So I went, and the teacher said, doubling. You know the drill. Some of you are experts. Everything was doubling. I said, it's just 1 minute. That I will just close the eyes and come back. Once I close it, energy. He's a liar. I say, I don't close it for 5 minutes. The next thing is, my sister just punched me. She just gave me a jab. The lecturer is looking at you. And it's a stupid lecturer. If I say stupid lecturer, your mind going to one person. Who is the person? Okay. If you cannot remember. If you say you cannot remember, now you know the person. Aha, good. If you say you went to church. So the lecturer was looking at me and he can fail you just for that. Let's leave that one. That's educational, engineering educational system. He can just tell you your CA is zero because you are sleeping. So she jumped me and I said, well, I sleep it. You know, sometimes your eyes are just heavy. But Jesus did not take that as an excuse. He says, for their eyes were heavy. So they slept the second time. Interesting. Verse 44, that's where we are. And they left them and went away again. You know, some of you, your eyes are always heavy. 5 a.m. Time for, that exact time for prayer change. Into your temple. When you woke up, 3. To check, it was 5. Your eyes shone bright. You say, it's not 5. If it was 5, let me just pray now. Or 5, the time, the hour of prayer. Alright. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Can we verse 45 together? Then he came to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now. Take your rest. The hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed. Is the end of sinner. Rise. Let us be going. Behold, is at hand, the one that betrays me. Amen. It comes the first time. Peter, can't you watch with me for an hour? Then he goes to pray, thinking they are praying. Then he comes the second time. He says, Lord, come. And he has come the second time. He says, what are you doing? Can't you pray? And he said, and they just went, you know, we have this emojiism, amen? There's a posture of emoji, right? In prayer, you just go, Lord, I'm praying. So you see him take a stone further, then you go, you were the one singing, come. He has come now. He told you to pray. Then you, yeah. If I went, there's a pillar close by. Amen. Pillars are Antichrist. In prayer, you just go. You have entered your rest. Then it comes the third time. Then he tells them, don't bother. That's interesting. He says, don't bother praying. Let's go. It's a scary thing if God tells you not to pray. Don't bother. It's already time. It means there are moments that will not repeat themselves again. If you miss that 1 hour they said, watch with me. You can't replace it with another 1 hour. Jesus says, don't bother. That 1 hour I needed had gone. There are times that cannot be repeated. And you liken that hour of prayer to waiting on God. And I know I started sharing a few weeks back on the subject of waiting on God. When we say waiting on God, because when we have our retreat, that's basically what's in our head, right? We're going to wait on God. We're going to hear from God, instructions for the coming year, the blessedness of the years to come, of the months to come, of the days to come, hours to come. And we have this perception of waiting on God. And I told you, waiting on God is everything and is nothing like sitting back and God doing everything. I shared with you on Sundays, some years ago, I went to minister at Oyo College of Education. And a certain fellowship president came to me because we were praying so hard. I've shared about the meeting. It was a 3-day meeting. I must have told you, we had witches come out. Some of them were students. I've shared before. We had witches come out, literally profess they had witchcraft, brought the patron and the matron of the witchcraft. I'm serious. They had matron of the witchcraft who was a lecturer in the same school, and they were all there asking for forgiveness, saying that fire is dropping on their shoulders and different things. And so I was inspired to pray with the fellowship pastors, pray for revival in the campus and all of that. And one of the fellowship presidents just came to me and said, if God wants a revival, he knows my address. That's what he told me. That man cannot force God to do something. That God will do something whether we ask for it or not. I said, that's not true. That's arrogance. If God would do everything without you, he wouldn't ask you to pray. We've got a part to play in how our life turns out. Unfortunately, which is going to change by God's grace, we're in a generation that doesn't want to pray. We want quick things. Quick fixes. Oh, I need disciples. I know what to do. I get a few TikTok clips of Rema. You know when you say Rema? I don't know if it's still raining. Say, Rema. See what pastor said there? Rema. So we clip the Rema. And then we put it on TikTok. And we just say, oh, come to church. And then a lot of people turn up. Amen. Really. They turn up to Glorious House Church and see, and I say, sorry. What is this church that posted that thing? Go. Away from the temple. You know? We are in that kind of generation, but it's going to change. Yeah. Someone was telling me that he's gone too far and all of that. And I said, no, there's nothing God cannot do. We can bring back revival times. We are not too small. We are not too small to change a city for the Lord. To turn things around. We ourselves, we will bear the light so strong. So strong. So strong. Amen. All right. So Jesus tells them, don't bother praying. That time has gone. Don't bother waiting on God. I love the way the Hebrew describes waiting on God. In Psalm 37. Is it David? Whoever wrote Psalm 37, said explain something on waiting on God. And I love the way the Hebrew described it. Psalm 37. Don't forget, on Sunday we read verse 4. I've been reading Psalm 37 lately. That's 40 verses. I've read 40 verses over and over and over and over again. So you expect a lot from Psalm 37. On Sunday we read verse 4. God will give you the desires of your heart. Remember? Huh? Amen. Verse 7 now. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And I told you, the way the Hebrew describes the word wait is almost like you are going hunting. You know, you see an animal, how do you hunt the animal? You go to the animal and start chasing. You're not going to get it. So what you do is that you lie in wait. Like an ambush. Right? Like an ambush. So you lie somewhere and then you say, when the animal is, how do you put it now? Unaware, you strike. He says that's exactly how you wait on God. Almost like you're trying to catch him. I love the way, Reverend Casey Price said it. Fred Price. He said, it's almost like you want to trap God. You want to trap God. You see him going and you want to grab that moment. The exact word is moment. Don't forget what Jesus told the disciples. There is no need to pray. There's absolutely no need to pray. You know, sometimes we think, I can do it later. Oh, pastor, I'm sorry, I was not able to take leave. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to pray my own retreat and everything. I'll just be listening to the teachings. And laying on the hands, I'll comment. I'll say, I receive. I was watching the YouTube and I received in the comment. So I discovered that was the time the minister was laying there. And I said, what are you receiving exactly? You put your hand on the screen or something? Nah, it doesn't work like that. And he said, I'm going to pray mine later. I'm going to listen later. How many of you have observed that when you listen to retreat teachings, we are doing that right now? You wonder, was this that teaching? There are some teachings you know how it went. I know what, what's this one? Joshua. The pain of wasted possibilities. That night. I got to the room. I said, no. I cannot go to bed now. I was still praying. And then you listen to it again, Justin. If you're listening to this, if you're hearing me, the keke, it's gone. I'll not miss my possibilities. And you wonder, it's not the same. Fine, we can still get information. We can recreate moments. But a moment is the moment. There are moments that will never be repeated. So it says, rest and wait patiently. It describes it as to where you refine your focus. You want to hunt that animal down. You know you're about to enter a God moment and you don't want to miss it. So what do? You refine your focus. The way the Hebrew describes waiting on God is like a woman wants to give birth to a child. Now, I've not given birth to a child before. I will never carry a child in my stomach. I've got no womb. Amen. The closest I'll probably give birth will be in retreat. That's the closest I'll be to labor pain. Amen. Amen. Good luck, sisters. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Okay. That's the closest you will be. Or writing a glorious living. But I was there when Sister Joy was giving birth. And sometimes the screams you hear from the labor ward, you want to, I want to ask a question. Do you think when a woman is about to give birth, she's wondering who is the president of the country? And she's wondering who is the president of Nigeria? Who is the Senate president? How much is my account? Nah. At that moment, the only thing she's thinking of, this child must come out. In some developed places, they put a focal point. Right? And you say, just be looking at that. So, you look at that and then you understand what I'm saying. Push and all of that. At that moment, the woman is not thinking, oh, so tomorrow, prayer group. No prayer group. At that moment, the woman is not thinking, there's something myself and Rosala was discussing yesterday. No. She refines all her focus to that one event. That's exactly how to wait on God. You see people waiting, checking WhatsApp messages. You know, you are not waiting. That's no waiting. I was telling someone recently, I said, you might not be able to reach me. It's normal. People who are close to me, they know they cannot reach me in that period. It will not go. I could leave my phone at home and come back to it after the retreat. It makes no difference because I don't use it. Because at this moment, it will not repeat itself again. Retreat 2023 is not the same as retreat 2022. It's not the same as 2021. It's not the same as 2024. There are moments that God will say, don't worry. It's gone. You won't miss your moment. Moments. One of the characters I love so much in the Bible, even though I tend to come upon him small, but I'm redeeming the image. It's Elijah. And some of you know that I'm gradually redeeming Elijah's image that a lot of Christocentric teachers have preached in the past, you have said things like Elijah never preached the gospel. That's a lie. I think I've thought on that already. Elijah, I love Elijah so much. You know, if you watch football very well, there are some players you just like. Because they don't waste time. They just shoot. Right? How many know what I'm talking about? You know, there are some players that when they carry the ball, if you're there when I'm watching football, you don't want to see me. Amen. You don't want to see me. I can't coach. If I coach, I will not be alive to preach the gospel. I'm literally saying, pass it now. I will be a fan like this. Hallelujah. And there are players like that, they just touch the ball. Why are you touching the ball? You want to carry it home? Pass it. But there are some players that they just carry the ball. They know that the goal of the match is to win. So what do? Shoot it. I know ladies like those kind of players because you want to see go. Some men, Chelsea fans, they like Palma or whatever. But you just want to see players that shoot. That's Elijah. Elijah does not care. Did you hear God yesterday? So have you now believed the gospel? He just wants to show you fire. He never see fire. Elijah is like, you never see fire? You never see fire. Wait. Where is that your enemy? Fire. Elijah is like that. There are no things to learn from him. But he walked with a man. His name is Elisha. So Elisha comes one day and tells Elijah, I need something from you. Elijah said, wait. Before you need anything, I'm going to be leaving. He said, to where? You're going to Bethlehem. Now, off I go to be with the Father. What do you want? Oh, what's that thing you're saying you wanted? Elijah said, I want double portion of your anointing. Elijah said, that's going to be hard. It's hard for anybody to give double of what they have. That's all they have. How do they give double? And Elijah said, but you know what I'm going to do? I don't own the double. All I own is one of what I have. But if you can see me go, if you can see me taking away, it's yours. If someone tells you that, if you see me taking away, I'll give you $1 billion. Hey, my God. I wonder if you'll be taken away. I'll follow you into the toilet. $1 billion. You're not going anywhere. Enter mosque. We go together. Say, Pastor, what are you going to do? Ah, don't worry. The gospel for all nations. Enter shrine. Assalamu alaikum. If I see you taking away $1 billion. And so, Elisha started following him everywhere. They got to a place. This was in a certain city. Elijah said, wait for me. I'll be back. Limao. Prophet, don't gaslight me. I'm not waiting. We move. We went together. Another place. Elijah said, I want to quickly buy suya there. Wait for me. Elijah said, this one, you want to run. So that you'll be taking it when I don't know. He followed. Then he came to a particular place. He saw Elijah part the waters and he left. He walked on dry ground, but he was not the one that did it. He observed. That was not enough to say, hey, how did you do it? Before you say, how did you do it? It's gone. So, why the miracle was going on? Like I said, can't you see I'm passing water? You know, can't see. It's you. Then there came a wild wind and chariots like fire. Horses on fire. And it came between Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha, even though he was seeing the wind, he was seeing the chariots, he still said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Meaning, my eyes is still on you, Elijah. That's how to wait on God. And the Bible says, Elijah was taken. And as he went up, his mantle fell. Elisha picked it. That was his moment. That was his moment. That moment did not suddenly arrive. There were waters, cities. Elijah even said, wait for me, I'm coming. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That was his moment. I remember I was in a meeting some years ago. And the pastor said something. So we all stood up and we're praying. And God actually instructed me to keep praying. To just stay there, keep praying. So, the man of God just said, you know what? Have your seat. Have your seat. Let me say something. And a lot of people sat down. I said, no. I'm not going to sit. I'm not going to sit down. What God is telling me right now is to stand. So I stood up. I was close to the front. So I was still there. I just stood there. I was just praying. I was in my notes. And the man said, oh, it's you. He said, oh, it's you. And he laid his hands and he prayed. He said some words. I wrote them down. That was exactly how God was going to fish me out in that moment. And when he said, oh, it's you. And he told me my name. He told me where I came from. Because I traveled from Ife for that meeting. He said where I was coming from. He said what I was doing at that moment. He said, so it's you. How did he know it was me? My eyes on the ball. Even though he said, wait, everybody sit down. No. I could feel it. I could sense it. It was all over my head. You are meant to be standing right now. That's how to wait. You are not even distracted by the meeting. Many believers don't know how to seize God's moment. There are moments in God that will not repeat himself again. The moment Elisha misses that one, he's never going to see Elijah again. Do you know what never means? He will never see Elijah again. Forget double. You not even get one. Single portion of the anointing you won't get. Talk more of double. There are moments that will never repeat themselves. You won't miss your moment. Yeah. The moment that changes everything. The Elisha that went with him was not the Elisha that came back. It was not the same. There are moments that changes everything. Oh, God, how do I serve God? I'm trying to also, I'm a young lady. I'm just trying to also make it in my corporate. No, career-wise, I'm trying to build up my portfolio, my everything. I'm planning, Pastor has taught us to plan and all that. But I don't want to also miss, I don't want to miss what God wants to do through me and through my ministry. I know every believer has God's purpose and plan in their lives to reach the world. How do I do it and all that? And there are moments that just changes everything. And then what you're thinking cannot be balanced. All becomes easy. It has always been easy. Listen to me. It has always been easy. Find the moment. There are moments in God that will never repeat itself again. Are you with me tonight? In Genesis 32, let me show you something. I'll close on pretty soon. Genesis 32. I'll start from verse 22. And he, that's Jacob, rose up at night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh and the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. As a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And Jacob, yes, I prevailed, amen. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray you, what is your name? And he said, what do you want to do with my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the name Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel. The sun rose upon him, and he altered upon his thigh. Amen. Before this, Jacob had a dream. Somewhere called Bethel. He saw a ladder that reached up to heaven and the earth. He used a stone as pillow. You know the story, right? And he saw a ladder that connected heaven and earth, angels coming down and up. And he woke up and he said, surely the Lord was in this place and I did not know it. And so, something happened again. Then he saw the angel. Then he went, come, let me show you what he did. Then he went, you don't grab God like this.
Yahweh Sabaoth.
No, you grab God like this. And so, you can say, so he took him and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. That moment never happened in Jacob's life again. He is a prophet. God spoke to him for years. We never saw Jacob have a face-to-face encounter again. There are moments that will never repeat themselves. There are moments that will never repeat themselves. In Mark chapter 7, we're looking at moments in God. Amen. Mark, the gospel according to Mark, chapter 7. It's the story of the Syrophoenician woman. Verse 24. And when from there he rose, that's Jesus, he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it. That is, he didn't want anybody to know. But it could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit ahead of him and came and fell at Jesus' feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician woman by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. We've had church split for less matters. Amen. for less statement. She's calling her a dog. Who? We've had families not talk forever on less statements than this. Of course, why would Jesus not pay attention to her? Don't forget, it's not God punishing other tribes. It's God's timing. Again, he was sent to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Of course, the Gentiles would be upon his resurrection. That's why when the Gentiles came asking for salvation, Jesus said the time is come for him to die. All right. So it's about God's timing. He was sent to Israel and Israel was going to be that model nation for every man to now believe in God. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I think we've taught this before. God's Israel. That a prophet? Is that a prophet? God's Israel. Series 4, 5, 3. Find out. Sorry, I've taught it. It has gone. 4, 5. 6 is Jesus of Nazareth. So 5 should be God's Israel. That a prophet. We taught on why God used Israel. Oh, it's let there be light. Sorry. That's it. That's how we go. They listen to that prophecy. It's right. You have been blessed. He said, let there be light. We're talking about God using Israel as a model nation. Remember, series 1. Yeah, let there be light. And so, it was not that God detested the Gentiles. It was God's timing to use Israel as that model nation. Again, all of that, let there be light, series 1. So, he said, I cannot take the children's meat and give it to dogs, or the children's bread and give it to dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go your way. The devil is gone out of your daughter. Sometimes, the offense, that offense that Jesus literally put, that scandalion, no, it's a scandal. It's a barrier. Imagine coming to someone. He's a well-known prophet. Everybody knows him. He casts out devils. He heals the sick. Blind men see. Lame men walk. People get jobs when they come for his meetings. Huh? Everything happens. Possibilities everywhere he is. And then you come to him and he says, you're a dog. No guy will find his mouth, yeah? Don't mind me. We explain that guy very well. He says, you're a dog. I can't give the children's bread to dogs. One of the men I respect a lot is Renard Bonnke. Literally got saved at his meeting. So Renard Bonnke got me saved. That's nice. And he said something. He said, you see, that scandalion Jesus put, sometimes overcoming that is all you need to sustain the miracle. How do I explain this, Lord? He said, that barrier, that offense,
The moment you get over that offense, that is exactly what you need to get a miracle. But, you know what a lot of us do? That offense makes us miss the moment. There's this story. A certain man went for Pastor Chris Oyakhilome's meeting. So they used to hold it at close to that same border some years ago. It was a camp meeting at the end of the year like this. And so they were not able to produce beds for them. And they paid heavily for the meeting. So, you know, when you pay for, imagine paying for a retreat and then they give you mat. You take care. Amen? So, there was no mat. So Pastor Chris tells them, you don't sleep on the floor. We are here for serious business. And so the man was saying, floor with all the money we got, all the money we paid. That's an annoying guy was there. So he told him, he said, when we leave here, we will go and we sleep on our beds. Why we are here, why not let us just receive what the man of God has to give? Imagine taking an offense on sleeping or not sleeping. And sometimes that offense takes the moment away. Play for me. That offense takes the moment away. But this one was smart. I'm smart in the name of Jesus. I have the right words. I know how to react. See, here a reaction. Oh my God. Oh my God. How many Christians will react this way? I can't give the children's bread to dogs. For this miracle, I'll be a dog. Oh, for this moment, I'm a dog. For this moment, the dog will eat of the bread crumbs. Anything will happen, but I'm not going to miss this moment. Heaven and earth will fall. But you see, Jesus that is here right now, I'm not going to miss it. And Jesus heard us say, how did you think about that? This moment is yours. How did you think about that? This moment is yours. You see someone go to retreat. And all you're bothered is about is the person that woke you up. Anyone who wakes you up, he's waking you up to pray. That's a good thing. I don't know how we Christians think, but I think that's noble. I think that's love. Before your hour passes over you, someone is literally sacrificing part of their own spiritual life to give you a tap. Then you go all dramatic. Bollywood. Now you need spiritual pass. Take your moment. Take your moment. There are moments where I will never repeat themselves again. Let me show you one. Let me show you. One more. Maybe two. Maybe two. But one more. In 2 Kings. I taught on this one. Was it last year or the year before? Sometimes I can't remember this thing. The year before. Never say enough. Remember? Remember that teaching? Someone listening to you today? Anyone? Never say enough? Anyone? Okay, you're not there yet. Sorry for 2021. Okay. Never say enough. And we said, there are three things. Yes, four. That never say enough. Remind me. A barren womb. Huh? Fire. The grave. Huh? A dry ground. You know what I say? Hey. Who the one bell? TikTok. It's not TikTok. That was this enough. I'm not teaching this. 2 Kings, chapter 13. And Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat upon his throne. Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. And Elisha was falling sick of the sickness that he died of. Remember Elijah? We spoke about him earlier. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said to Elisha what Elisha said to Elijah, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Sometimes you need to repeat. You need to repeat encounters. You need to repeat promises. You need to repeat statements from God's word. And Elisha said unto him, focus. Don't write. Read. Verse 15. Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, put your hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot! And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till you have consumed them. And he said, take the arrow, and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote it three times, and stayed. Verse 19, keep your eyes on the ball here. And the man of God was angry with him. And he said, you should have smitten it five or six times. Then you would have smitten Syria till you have consumed it. Now you shall only smite Syria three times. The next verse is, Elisha died. Yes, my king. See? The prophet said, now smite the arrow. And the king went, one, two, three. And he said, glory. And Elisha was angry. Why did you stop? You should have done this more times. Now you will defeat Syria three times. You should have completed the destruction of Syria. Before Joash will say, let me do it again. No, Elisha. There are times you see Elisha just once. There are moments that will not be repeated. That entire event of you smiting the arrow, you need to use it. Oh, Christian, you're sitting here, you're listening to me. Make use of your moment. Said you smote Syria three times. Why didn't you do it five? Why didn't you do it six? I'm asking, why didn't you do it 14, 18? Which one is easier? To smite the arrow on the floor or to go to battle? Smite the arrow. Do it 1,000 times. But there are moments that will never be repeated. That was it. And Elisha died. If you're reading the story and never read the Bible before, and what you're expecting next is, and the king took the arrow, right? And he started. And the writer just wrote, and Elisha died. That moment, gone. That encounter, gone. That opportunity, gone. Oh Lord God of heaven, may we not miss our moment. There are moments in God that are not repeatable. You've just got to seize it. You've just got to seize it. Shoot! Use your moment. This could happen again. Elijah died. And Elisha died. And they buried him. And Elisha died. And they buried him. Oh Lord God of moments. Oh Lord God of seasons. Oh Lord God of times. It's my time. It's my season. It's my moment. It's my moment. It's my moment. And I'm going to make use of it. It's my moment. And I'm going to make use of it. It's my moment, Lord. It's my moment, Lord. For strength. It's my moment, Lord. is my moment, Lord.
For clarity,
is my moment, Lord.
Is my moment, Lord.
For healings, is my moment, Lord.
Is my moment, Lord.
For ministry,
is my moment, Lord.
Is my moment, Lord.
Is my moment, Lord.
Is my moment, Lord.
For passion,
is my moment, Lord.
Is my moment, Lord.
Is my moment, is my moment.
Is my moment, is my moment.
It's my moment.
It's my time.
Oh Lord God.
Oh Lord God.
Oh Lord God of times.
This is my moment.
No, I'll close with Mark chapter 2.
Oh Lord God of seasons.
Oh Lord God of moments.
There are moments in you.
There are moments in you.
I know there's more.
I know there is 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 more.
And I go for the more.
I go for the more.
I go for the more.
I don't go for the more. I go for the more.
I have seen men you use.
I have seen men over the years that you have used.
I have seen men live for you.
I have seen men do exploits for you.
And they still shone in their world.
They still shone in their world.
Men still recognize them.
I saw how you use them.
I saw how easy it was for them.
Oh Lord God of moments.
I won't miss mine.
In Mark 2,
Jesus went to preach. And again he entered, verse 1, into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straight away many were gathered, in so much that there was no room to receive them. Not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them. So, you can imagine this entire hall, and everywhere is filled. You can't even put a chair. So everyone was standing and Jesus was just there, trying to preach to everybody. So much that nobody can enter through the door. That means everywhere was blocked. And they come to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was carried by four people. And when they could not come near for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So I can imagine the sick person was landing on people's head. And they are saying, what's up? What's up? And they had to give way for them to let him down. Verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick, your sins are forgiven. In verse 9. Or in verse 11. He said unto thee, arise, take up your bed, go your way into your house. The man was fine. Immediately he arose, took up his bed, verse 12, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. That was their moment, and they knew it. Look up. They had 10,000 reasons to go back home. We went to that meeting. Everywhere was filled. So what we did was that we actually waited for Jesus to come out. We shall know that the meeting will be over one day. He will come out from the door. No, that was the moment. That was the moment. If you go back home, you miss it. If you go east yourself, you miss it. One of the ways I was trained, growing up, I'm still growing. You will never see me in a church meeting standing to go do something. Now, I know that, of course, there are times where it's emergency, you just have to, you press, none of that. But I'm trained to just empty my bowels before the meeting. I do that intentionally. It's just the training of the Spirit. If you don't have it, you need to look for it. I just wonder. It's just a moment. The angel is here. This moment is gone. If Jacob did not hold on, the angel is gone. That was the way it came in a dream. Before he opened his eyes, said Jack Robinson. Angel was gone. He said God was here. I didn't know it. Moment. The man who was at the pool of Bethsaida. 38 years he was there. He went to buy. Imagine he went to buy food when Jesus came. Jesus came and said, how long have you been here? 38 years. I have no man to put me. He said, shh. This is your moment. This is your moment. Jesus said, you're talking too much. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is your moment. Take it. This is your moment. That's what he said. That's what he said. He said, this is your moment. Take it. Take it. Take it. This is your moment. Hey, you know, I just kept wondering, what if he went to use the restroom? Hey! Hey! No. I won't walk amiss in my life. Oh, that's a legitimate concern. It's a legitimate excuse. I went to buy food. My stomach, you know, ulcer. It's ulcer, sir. Why were you in the meeting? Ulcer. Ulcer was ulcering. I just went to buy food. 38 years, and you just went to buy food. Kadu sing the haki dasta. 38 years. So I want to drink water. How many times have people missed their moments? How many times? They let him through the roof. See this moment? It will not pass. Is that what they said? It will not pass. If you take putting the sick on people's head, then we'll do it. They tore the roof apart. They broke it. So this one, we'll pay that one. They let him down. They put him down. And Jesus said, you took this moment thing serious. You took this thing serious. If you want it that much, then you have it. That's what I said. If you want to see God more in your life, if you want it that much, then you have it. If you need it that much, so much struggling, so much back and forth, so much people motivating and trying to encourage and trying to comfort here and there, yet you are meant to be the one comforting. You are meant to be the one holding men and raising men for Jesus. You are meant to be, you to wake up in the morning and smile and say, you know what? These are not that day to change lives. He gave you his word. He told you to go meet young teenagers. He told you to change lives in that community. He said it to you, heard it. And you've been finding it difficult to do the same. Oh, take your moments. Take your moments. Moments, 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 Lord. Moments, Lord. Moments, Lord, tonight. Let's pray. That was the moment. That moment in God. We walk in our own. I don't miss my moments. Hey, pass me not to care to see if you're in my own. Thank you.
is nothing for you. Echo is nothing for you. Like a like wax before fire. Like wax before fire. I know it's nothing in your moment. I know it's nothing in your moment.
Thank you.
One of the things the devil will try to do to steal moments is to give a valid reason why that's not your moment. And so, for the woman, for the Syrophoenician woman, imagine hearing, I don't give the children's bread to dogs. And so, there are some thoughts that just come to her head. Maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's not my time. Maybe he really hates us. And then, she could just get offended and then go. I will ensure that nobody listens to you. This is my daughter's demon. That's really now. I will ensure that every time I see it, nobody will listen to you. And the devil is just saying, good. Good girl. Keep it up. Keep it up. As long as you miss a moment. The four will let their friend down from the roof. You know, there could be thoughts. The room is filled. Maybe if we had gotten there earlier. Maybe we were able to get the ticket to see Jesus like personally in his office. Maybe because the recognition closed. Maybe that was not my moment. Meanwhile, Jesus was right there where they were going to let him down. Moments. Life is about moments. Moments. Even in the natural corporate life, you hear people who God made it big. They'll tell you, there was just a moment. I was sharing with, was it Brofe? Some Wednesdays ago, we're talking about a certain woman. They wanted to run an ad, you know about it. It was MTN. Wanted to do an ad and all that. The voiceover artist did not come. And then she was the secretary, front desk. And she talks like that front door, like the artist, come. And that was it. That was the moment. If you go to buy food, you are not there. Moments. There are moments in God. You know the scariest part? Every man had it. Cain had his moment, he missed it. I swear to God, he missed it. Abraham had his moment, and he took it. Just a moment. Three men came. He saw them from the plains of Mamre. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to miss this moment. He said, you will stay in my place. You will eat my food. Because this is my moment. He took his moment. Every man had it. Moses had it. He thought everything was all about the palace. 40 years he was there. Nothing happened. He went to Jethro's place. 40 years he was there. Nothing happened. On the 80th year, 80 years of his life, that moment was pending. He was walking. And he saw a burning bush. And knew, this is my moment. This is my moment. What if he walked past? Oh Lord. You know, sometimes I reflect on men who miss their moment and you watch such terrible, terrible, terrible life. The plan of God is old. The plan of God is sound. It covers everywhere. Sometimes you wonder, what if I serve Jesus so much and then my family pays for it, or my career pays for it? The Son of God is old. If you stay in your moment. Oh my God. It's about moments. Jacob saw it and he took it. And I give it to you on a platter. God literally came to bless them. God literally, you are not hearing me well. God Israel walked in to bless them. And he just missed the moment. Something flimsy. One moment of lapse of concentration. I say consecration, maybe. One moment of just lack of consecration. One moment of hunger. One moment of displeasure. 5 minutes. 5 minutes of just turning off. And he just missed that moment. Then they wait for another retreat. How many times did Anna go to Shiloh? Why did she take a moment? Why did she just, what she said? She could have said it last year. God, remember, we saw why God will listen to Anna, right? God's desires, man's desires, they meet. What's that called? An answer prayer. Anna could have said it 12 years ago. A moment was in her lips. Hey, Jesus. A moment was on her lips. She would have said it last year. She would have said it 2 years ago. She would have said it 5 years ago. A moment was right there waiting. And she was saying the wrong things. In God. And she was saying other things that appear pious. Good. But that was not the moment. There are things to say. God, give me the words to say. Words that will shape my life. That changes everything. Can we pray for ourselves? Pray for me.
Thank you.